It's true. In studio, Adam Carolla. He's a grown-up now, but he's a kid in his book. The book is called Not Taco Bell Material. It must have been painful for you to shout it out to your ghostwriter, your whole story. Adam, welcome to Kill Meat and Friends. Or welcome back, I should say.
Happy to be back.
You know, last time you were on the show, I walked in to find you kind of laying on the floor because you had been up all night, flown all night,
yes,
in order to be on our show in time.
I actually did two shows in Philly, two stand-up shows in Philly, and got back to the hotel. It's always a bad thing, that thing where, I don't know if you've had this, I'm sure anyone who's traveled on business has had that thing where you walk into the hotel and it's like 1 a.m. because after the two shows, I signed autographs, we walk back to the hotel. So I walk back to the hotel, and we're standing in the lobby at about 1 a.m., and everyone says, all right, I'll see you back here at 4:15. And you're like, because we had to catch a 4:30 train,
yeah,
to come into New York to do like Good Morning, whatever, and do all the other shows. And by the time I got here, I was on fumes, and I literally just spread myself out on the floor.
I loved it, but man, you came to perform right from a dead sleep to a half hour of great radio. Adam, what a horrible upbringing you had. I mean, it was a real struggle for you, wasn't it, in a funny, comedic way?
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't know you're struggling when you're struggling. That's part of the good part. You know, I never knew what air conditioning was or dental insurance was. Like, you know, so... It's not like you miss it. You know, it'd be like going back in time 200 years and explaining to people what cable television was and flat screen TVs. Like, I don't think they'd miss it.
Right.
But if you think about them and you go, God, they must have been miserable without their TiVo. But they didn't know it existed. I really didn't know these things existed.
If I'm reading about this and it's hysterical. The book is called Not Taco Bell Material. And I'm reading about this and thinking along the way, how does he get into show business? Because you mentioned like there was no show business gene in your house. Like your dinners weren't a knee slapping event. You know,
no.
It was
we ate TV dinners and watched Maude. We didn't sit around a table. I got into it because I met Jimmy because I was working as Jimmy Kimmel because I was working as a boxing instructor and he was doing morning radio in Los Angeles, and they're having one of those boxing matches between the sports guy and the maintenance guy, and they needed a trainer, and I just volunteered to train because that's what I was doing for a living, and we made great friends, and he got me onto the radio.
But let me ask you, were you funny? It sounds like you were funny hanging out with the guys. Like, did your friends tell you, hey, Adam, you got to get on stage?
No. I was funny, but where I come from, that had no currency. It was, and that's the part that's sort of sad about the whole tale, which is, my family was depressed and, you know, they weren't mean people, but they weren't particularly supportive. Like, they weren't like, go out, live your dreams. You can do anything you want. Don't listen to anybody. Don't let them tell you. No, but they were like, yeah, just go out and do your thing and then, go dig a ditch. You know, it was like, there wasn't any discussion. So, I was funny, but nobody ever went like, hey, man, you got a gift. It was more like, you know, and in school, it was like, stop being disruptive, be quiet. It wasn't like, well, you have a certain gift and you really need to focus and you should be taking drama classes. It was more just like, sit down and be quiet. And that was about it. And as far as my friends go, they were just jerks from the San Fernando Valley. And we all just worked construction. And it wasn't like I had a construction foreman going, you know, you should go to the Groundlings and study improv because you have a real gift for that.
They don't usually do that.
No. So it didn't exist where I came from.
Right.
You know, it has to exist. Now, nowadays, if your kid was really funny, you would probably encourage them to go that direction. But back then, there was no direction to go. There was no one to encourage me. So I had no idea. It was a liability more than it was anything.
See, what I admire is, so all this is happening, how much creativity around you, but you're blue-collaring it. You're going to work hard in construction. You got to get that next job. In fact, I think you were 13 or 14 when you said to yourself, I got to go get a job. I'm going to try Taco Bell. Hence,
yes.
What did they tell you when you walked into Taco Bell?
Sadly, I was 15 or 16 when I went into apply at the North Hollywood Taco Bell.
I tried to spin it more positive.
I know. I appreciate it. But I was really like, I had my learner's permit. I was probably about 16 at the time. And they just said, thanks, but no thanks. And I remember thinking, wow, I've really bottomed out. Like, this is them. This is basic.
Taco Bell said no to Adam Carolla.
This is you trying to enlist in the army during a war, and I'm telling you, beat it.
Yeah, we'd rather win without you. We'd rather lose than have you.
Either way, good luck to you.
Right. But you did work at McDonald's.
Yes.
And see, this is what and Adam, I know you're not good at accepting compliments, but I'll give you one, is that most people would be like, wow, you know what? I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get by. I'm going to hang out with my friends. But there's something about you. You have this drive in you. You want to get money. You want to change things. You like working hard. A lot of guys would not have grabbed the job at McDonald's, and you were doing it. And a lot of your friends were coming in there, and one time they were harassing you, correct?
Well, you know, I didn't have any choice. I didn't have any money. You know, there wasn't anything to do. But
there was no allowance.
No, and I wanted my, you know, $2.35 an hour, whatever minimum wage was back then. And yeah, guys would come in. It did suck because I was in charge of doing a sweep and a mop of the dining area. I didn't even get to work the register. I had to go like push the mop around the dining area and go under people's feet while they were eating and stuff like that. And yeah, guys would come. It sucked because it was over summer vacation, and my friends would like come home from the beach and they'd come by and they'd, you know, harass me. I got harassed by some young punk kids over there when I was doing a sweep and a mop of like the outdoor dining area on their skateboards. I don't know if that's a story you're talking about or not.
Yeah, and then you end up pinning a guy against the car or something like that.
Well, I played football, so I played linebacker. So I had good, you know, fast muscle twitch reflexes going on. And I was just sitting there, and these kids, I don't know what's wrong.
Well, that's a theory.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
And these kids were like 13, and they're riding their skateboards in a circle, and they kept coming closer to me. And they're like, hey, you missed a spot, mop boy. Hey, why don't you give me a chicken McNugget, you know, and they were yelling at me, and they're like hazing me. And then I just pretended like I didn't listen to them. And at one point, I waited for the guy, timed it, till he took a push and he came right at me. And right before he turned off, I just dropped the mop and sprinted at him and threw him on the hood of a car. I didn't beat him up. I just wanted to scare the crap out of him.
And you did.
I hope so. There's nothing worse than an obnoxious 13-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who gets hit. Now, Adam Carolla, when I first heard about you, it was on Loveline.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be up at that hour getting ready for Fox and Friends.
Sure.
And with you and Dr. Drew.
Really?
And it was just it was just phenomenal how you would take these callers and ad-lib off some of their problems.
Yeah, well, that was my job, and it was the greatest job ever. And because it was in the middle of the night, and it was at the radio station, and no one was there. So we had the place to ourselves. And I loved Dr. Drew, and I loved hanging out with him, and I loved talking to him. And it was like we just sat there. I used to joke. We barely even took any calls at a certain point. We just start talking. And it was like we just had an intercom, like two microphones and headphones. And we just sit here like we're sitting here now, like nobody was listening. And just say, you know, how was your day, Drew? What went on? And then I would complain about 45 minutes about my day. And then the show would be over. We'd take like three phone calls.
But I used to like them. Hey, the name of the book is Not Taco Bell Material. Adam Carolla wrote about it. And listen to how he described working with an author. He said, as shouted at Mike Lynch. Which is quite unique. When we come back, more from Adam Carolla, whether he likes it or not, we've bolted the door. He can't overpower me. I've got that kind of build. Kill me and friends.
Yo quiero taco, man.
Like Fox and Friends, without the green room and free Danish. You're with Kilmeade and Friends.
Twins.
They're five.
Five. And
yes.
A boy and a girl?
Boy and a girl.
And which is the easier one to have, a boy or a girl?
The boy is 1,000 times easier. You give him a Tonka truck and a little real estate. You put him in the corner. He doesn't want to be bothered. The girl's a pain in the I wish we could change him. And we think, you know, there's a million books on, you know, how to parent. And we talk about societal influences and video games and all that stuff. They are who they are. You're always who you were,
yes.
I'm guessing.
Pretty much, yes.
A richer version of who you were when you're in high school.
Yes.
Not Taco Bell is Not Taco Bell Material is the name of the book. Adam Carolla is here, and that was you with Ellen. So you did a lot. You do a lot of talk shows. You were on Jimmy Kimmel a couple of times last week. He's your buddy.
Yes, he is, and I am, and I do.
Right.
Yes.
And let me ask you, how would you describe it? You guys changed a lot since you got rich and famous?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what happens when you have money is you realize that time is sort of the commodity. whereas before money was the commodity. You know, you'd do 8 hours for $10 an hour shoveling crap back in the day and not think anything of it. Now, if somebody said, look, I'll give you $80 to move that pile of crap, it's going to take you all day, you'd go, that's a waste of my time. So you have money, but time becomes the sort of element.
Right.
And it's sort of like being an old rich guy. I'm sure any old rich guy who was 78 years old and a millionaire would give $25 million for 5 years and give you $100 million if you could put him back into his 50s, right?
Right.
So it's really about time. And then what happens, and this is the reason why rich guys are pain in the ass, is because they're moving at a faster pace than a lot of people that are around them. And so they get short. And they're sort of like, do this, do that, do this, do that. But they don't say thank you or please or appreciate it. So it becomes how much stuff can you get done in this allotted lifetime or in this day? And that's kind of what happens. You get busy and then you get busier.
Right. One thing I get out of your book, which is hysterical, Not Taco Bell Material, which you were told at one point, and now you're this this famous comedian, which is interesting and heartening to a lot of people who may be a little bit down right now, is that you'll work your way out of things. And I thought this commencement address, as pulled out by our incredible staff, who I told just go do this and do that because my time is valuable,
sure.
It really is Adam Carolla's mantra. Let's listen.
Each of you is dressed, you'll notice, exactly the same. And your diploma. But for your name, exactly the same. All of this is as it should be because none of you is special. You're not special. You're not exceptional. Contrary to what your U9 soccer trophy suggests, your glowing seventh grade report card, despite every assurance of a certain corpulent purple dinosaur, that nice Mr. Rogers and your batty Aunt Sylvia, no matter how often your paternal caped crusader has swooped in to save you, you are nothing special. We have of late, we Americans, to our detriment, come to love accolades more than genuine achievement.
So that is David McCullough who gave this commencement address. Adam, isn't that you? Don't you feel the same way?
Yes.
Go out.
Look, I played Pop Warner football, Little League baseball. I played 10 years of football and 7 years of baseball. I don't own any of the participation trophies I've ever gotten because they're meaningless. Obviously, anything that's given to anybody. Yeah, I showed up. I got a trophy. The most valuable trophy that I own and that I ever have owned was after a bowl game I played in Pop Warner. The other team and our team all lined up on the 50-yard line, and they voted. Who's the best offensive player on each team and who's the best defensive player on each team? And their team voted me the best defensive player. And it's something I'll never forget because it was real.
Came
and
from
it was
them.
In real time. And it came from the opponent that we just played. And it couldn't mean more. And they had one. It was only one to give away. And they gave it to me. That's feels good. The sort of everyone's special and every piece of art is going on the refrigerator and everybody gets a trophy. It's insane.
Are you living up to that with your kids?
No, I'm horrible.
You're overindulging them?
Well, no. What the problem? Here's the problem. I am now the lone sane people. I'm from L.A. And that's the tip of the spear of this feel-good insanity.
It's all your fault.
And it's all my fault, my friend's fault, my people's fault. And a kid makes a solid BM, and we want to put it in a Lucite case and put it in the trophy room. And my kid the other day hits a ball off a tee. He's six. The ball travels about 3 feet. The kid picks it up, throws it over the first baseman's head. The right fielder throws it over the second baseman's head. And the next thing you know, my kid's got a home run.
And you're thinking, Adam Carolla?
The ball traveled 31 inches.
That's all you're thinking.
And so everyone's saying, home run, home run, home run. And then I'm saying to my son, now listen, if you really want to learn how to swing the bat, you go with daddy to the backyard. And he said, what are you talking about, Pops? I just hit a home run. I know how to help. And I said, well, Now you technically you hit a home run, but the ball never left the infield. And then I got my wife giving me the stink eye going, why are you ruining it for him? And when did telling the truth to a kid become ruining his life?
You know what, Adam? Don't change. Fight the good battle.
I shall not.
The book is excellent. It's going to be a bestseller. Not Taco Bell material, which you, by the way, are for my money.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
All right. And follow him on this podcast. It's the number one in the world in the history of this planet.
Sure.
And keep listening to Kilmeade and Friends.